Somewhere between the worlds of technology and digital design resides the Cash All Podcast. Here to share thoughts, news, and ideas about coding, graphic design, digital tools, and more is your host, Brandon Peterson.
Remember Savage Garden, the band? I had the CD of the self-titled album back in the day in 1997. And the high school where I currently teach at plays music on the speakers in the halls during passing periods. There's some pretty good classics from my era that come on. And one day, the song Truly, Madly, Deeply was playing by Savage Garden. Other teachers in the hall and I were kind of reminiscing about how that song takes you back a little bit. Well, as the day went on, I was thinking of other songs from that album. And got to thinking, you know what? Maybe Savage Garden was not necessarily singing about love after all, but maybe they were singing about content forms and strategies. A thousand words might as well be about someone who's no longer buying what a brand is telling them about their content. Like maybe it's not an authentic message anymore. Or maybe the voice is inconsistent. Universe could just as well be about inbound marketing from a brand. And it's all in on this relationship with the customer. But the customer, on the other hand, isn't 100% sold yet. Looking for ways to balance your content strategy for business or for your personal brand? Well, this week, with the help of Savage Garden, I got you. This week, I'll define three categories of brand content, give you some examples, and share how they can be used together to not only grow your reach, but to keep customers coming back. So crack open a nice cold chicken cherry cola and enjoy. Digital content is great. Text, pictures, slideshows, podcasts, carousels, memes, and videos, all of it's great. And they all help us tell stories, educate, or even entertain others. Content gives us a way to connect with others, so they're more likely to visit our webpage, engage with us, or even purchase services and goods. We can categorize content in many different ways, but one effective way to do it is to break it down by its timeliness or its life cycle. The first two examples we hear often, first one is evergreen. The second is trendy. If I'm sticking with the wordplay of the word Savage Garden, and I want this to be more of a garden theme, maybe instead of trendy, I could say monocarpic, for you botanists out there. The third type is what I could call perennial. Evergreen, as one would expect, is content that can be viewed at any time, and it's always relevant. If I were to relate evergreen content to movies, like it seems like I do with everything else, so I might as well do the same here, it'd be like Back to the Future or Forrest Gump. They could be on any time of year, and I'm going to watch them whenever they're on TV. I may even bust out the Blu-ray from time to time and watch it. How would this look in terms of content strategy for a brand? Well, Traeger, they might make a video that shows how to properly clean a grill. Or maybe have a set of recipes for beginning barbecue pit masters. This content could be found when people are purchasing their grill for the very first time, or just when something comes up and they're searching for it online. Maybe they're going to Google search easy first smoked pulled pork recipe, and in the case it comes up online and they can find it at any time. There's not one time a year to make these things, and it could happen at any time. In my case, for evergreen content, I like to make tutorials. So one example might be like Adobe Illustrator, the Intertwine feature that came out not that long ago. Somebody could look up how to link two components of a logo so it looks like they're weaving between each other. And then maybe they come across my tutorial on YouTube. Evergreen content is great because it's timeless, like I said. And it can be planned, it can be scheduled, and can also be a little more polished because we can take our time putting it together. Trendy content or monocarpic content. Monocarpic means like a flowers once and then it's done. Like on that movie Dennis the Menace, and they're all out there trying to see that flower bloom. And then Mr. Wilson looks the other way and then looks back and the flower had already bloomed. Dennis! Well, trendy and monocarpic content is much more nimble and much less predictable. It reminds me of bird photographers or storm chasers. A lot of it depends on being at the right place at the right time. In movies, this is a little harder to define, but one example might be like The Lone Ranger in 2013. There was a ton of hype for it, and then after it, nobody really talked about that movie again. Or another example, for different purposes, could be the movie Office Space. It was released in 1999, and it's about these people that are working in this computer office. But the reason why they're all working there is because they're fixing code for software so that it doesn't crash at the year 2000 for the unexpected Y2K crisis, where people were worried that technology would shut off and everything bad would happen when the clock strikes zero on your computers at the year 2000. So the movie's like still good, but people watching it now who are younger, they might not get the same feel as those who were alive at the time, you know, where it was more relevant to us at the time. Do love the movie. And if you haven't seen Office Space, check that out sometime. Just a little side note there. Jumping on trends is hard because they arrive unexpectedly and there's generally a small window. You have to be quick on your feet. You have to be creative and you have to be opportunistic. You also can't be afraid to fail. More often than not, you might be a little late to the party and you just have to chalk it up for experience, learn from the mistake or learn from it and be better next time. Old Kenny Rogers can offer a little advice on this. Know when to hold 'em. Know when to fold 'em. So it's often where like a content creator may choose to sit this one out and wait for the next opportunity if the timing wasn't right. People will only be able to use those Barbie movie filters with their selfies for so long until it becomes overused or it's no longer relevant. In the social media world, for example, like you can't really prepare yourself to do something like when a guy decides to ride a skateboard drinking ocean spray. Like you had to jump on that relatively quickly and it's not something you really predict that's going to happen. Most recently, Ava Williams, she posted video clips of her train ride to New York as if it was a Wes Anderson film. Something out of the blue. Something she didn't know was just going to blow up all over the world. Grand Budapest Motel, Moonrise Kingdom are a few of my favorite movies. So to me, it was very wholesome and gratifying to see so many people jump on that trend, posting videos of their daily lives as if it was directed or filmed by Wes Anderson, and then posting it on Instagram and TikTok. But I felt kind of left out because it was a busy week at school for me. I didn't really have time to plan anything out, so I had to sit that one out. But it did give me the opportunity to enjoy the creativity that many other people posted during that trend. Although trendy or monocarpic content is harder to prepare for, it's a great way for you to put out content that might have more eyes available to see it. So it can really help like extend a brand's reach. Finally, we have perennial content. It's a little of both. I had never really thought of perennial content before and didn't really think of the concept of it until I accidentally created some on YouTube. So I thought I was creating evergreen content, a typical tutorial, some Python programming tutorials for my students or anyone else in the world to see to help them with, you know, when they're trying to learn a new coding language. And so eventually I noticed that I was getting a noticeable increase in watches of these videos like at the same time every year. And like one of them was about programming a script that could create and organize a shopping list using Python lists. The other one was creating like a casino game using while loops. And then when I was looking at that each time, and then when I would read the comments and reply back as I tried to anyone who leaves a comment on my videos, I realized, you know what? This is like the time of year each year, people in college or in high school, those teachers are teaching about while loops. And so it became, you know, perennial. At the same time, every year it's coming back and gets a little bit of uptake for it. So like if we were going to relate that to movies, A Christmas Story, Groundhog Day, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, those would be some good examples. You can watch those movies at any time, but there's obviously sometimes during the year that work a little better to watch those movies. Going back to Traeger for how this could be applied into practice, you know, when they make their recipes for turkey, or, you know, that might be something for people to watch at Thanksgiving time. They're going to notice more engagement with that content at that time of year. Or maybe smoked ham for Easter. It's there all year, but way more popular or trendy to use at one particular time. Those are the three types of content. Now, how much do we use of each? Well, to give the lame answer that nobody likes to hear, it depends. If your brand is emerging technology, or maybe a brand for new music albums or latest movie reviews, things like that, maybe you're going to have a little bit more trendy than you would otherwise. If you're writing about your favorite books, or things like, or crafts or things like that, maybe your content's going to be more evergreen than the average person. Many people recommend using 80% evergreen content to 20% timely or trendy content. This obviously doesn't use the third category that I use. So I might say something like 75% evergreen, 20% timely, and then 5% perennial would be a good place to start. Then it's scientific after that, right? As you start creating and posting it, and then you collect your data, you try to interpret those results. And are you getting enough reach? Are you getting enough engagement? Does one type seem to be watered down too much and not enough of another? You can kind of fine tune those categories, those three categories, use them as like little sliders or little dials until you find your perfect balance. Hopefully, you're able to come away with a good feel for these three main content types, how they're used, and how they can be applied to your content formula so that your brand can stand by your followers on a mountain or bathe with them in a sea. Try it out, let me know what you think, and share your percentages and results that worked best for you.
Thanks for listening. Like and subscribe if you want notified the moment of new episode releases. You can interact with me online on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok using my handle, Code Peterson, or by visiting codepeterson.com.